God bless you. My name is Aaron Cunningham. I'll be doing a teaching and a sharing tonight. And really, what's going to be? Are you okay? Some bloopers over here. It's going to be a testimony. They're going to share a testimony. And I think it was neat when Jesus Christ said, go witness. It's important for anybody. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And even if somebody doesn't know the word very well, we'll always use it as an excuse. As soon as I learn the word, I'll go witness. And guess what happens? You never learn the word. You can go witness by go telling a testimony, something you know is true. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you guys a testimony that everybody here has already known most of the details, but I thought it'd be good to honor Yahweh and Jesus Christ as I'm sitting in the end results right now. And I went under, and what it would remind me of is like what Israel and Shana moved into their last new house. That was right before Ruth was born. And she got to give the whole testimony about Ruth, this little girl that wasn't supposed to be here. But Yahweh said, I want you to go back and get your tubes untied or whatever and get pregnant and have a baby. Hey, no problem, right? What? But now we're getting to see a little girl who turned 3 years old now. And we couldn't imagine life without her. But back then we could have. And it didn't even make sense. But it might not make sense, but it will always be profitable. So my story started with a house I had, and it's really not about that house, but it's part of the testimony. I had a house that I was very proud of. I loved it. I really, even when I'd come home from work, a long day at work, I had lights on it. It would make me feel good to come home. I could see, like a sense of accomplishment. And it was a house that Yahweh gave me, Jesus Christ, that at the time when I even got it, I didn't think that it was even feasible. But I was walking by the Spirit, praying, was there anything I need to do? Is there anything I thought? And all of a sudden, a stirring came up, sell your house. I'm like, that's not you. I got to change your frequency. I got the wrong frequency. Is there anything you need from me? Not that person. So I just, you're not sure about these things. That's huge. Anyways, it didn't go away. Fine. I'm like, you want me to do this? Because I don't have the money to sell the house, which because I don't have the money to finish things and stuff like that. The basement needed work And I was real peaceful about it. I went over to Mom and Dad's house. I'm sitting there, and if you need clarity, go to a believer's house that's stronger than if you can. And like I'm able to go sit in Mom and Dad's couch in the living room and just sit there. And all of a sudden, I get clarity. I can kind of soak in. And he goes, "Sell the house." I don't want to sell the house. Well, one of the first obstacles was I was going to need some drywall finish and things like that done. And I knew, as all of us do, what we're supposed to do. Even if we can't explain it to somebody, you all know what you're supposed to do. And sometimes we think, if other people don't know what I'm doing, Jesus Christ reads minds. Remember that, guys? When they brought in the paralytic, when they pulled off the roof of Jesus' house, they lowered him down. He goes, "Your sins are forgiven." And what's neat after that, because he could read the minds, or he had communication, he could see the minds of the Pharisees going, "Who could do this but God?" And he knew their thoughts. And I believe that even when they lowered that paralytic, he knew that guy's thoughts too. And I think, and that's my speculation, that the paralytic was going to have a problem with getting healed because of his sins. And Jesus Christ goes, "Your sins are forgiven you." But with us, he communicates. He's a perfect communicator. And he works inside all of us. And the idea is, what do you want to hear? And most of my life was spent running away because I was afraid he's going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do. And you know what? I was right. I knew it. I knew he's going to ask me to give up a friend. And my big thing is relationships. No, not a friend. And when I was younger, one of the problems I had is that I was always thinking about losing things. And losing was a part of it. I knew I needed to get rid of relationships and stuff like that. But now as I'm older, I'm still a big work in progress. Now I focus on the rewards. Because if he's asking me to do something and I don't want to do it, then I can take a step back and go, was there anything I want from him? For instance, with your parents or somebody you love, like here's Tim. If anybody ever thought about being mean to Tim, they better think, are you going to be needing a plumber soon? You better be nice to Tim, because you're going to need something from the guy, right? How much more so is Yahweh, right? And so I'd sit there and go, I don't want to do this. Was there anything you want from him? And now, when he asked me to get rid of something, I go back to go, what do you want? or focus on the reward. So anyways, with the house, the first step was I was supposed to hire somebody to come do the drywall. I did it. I made a phone call. I made an order. The guy's going to come the next day. In my mind, I can always reserve the option to cancel, right? Just in case I was wrong. And how ironic, I don't mind spending money on things that I do like large macchiatos and going hunting, but when it comes to stuff like that, I didn't want to spend the money. But anyways, I called the guy to come work on the drywall. I went to mom and dad's house, and I was just in peace. I was not getting any, don't do it. I was just so peaceful. Then as I went home, I was going to have to borrow money out of my tax account to pay it. Okay, whatever. It was communicated to go to the mailbox. So I went to the mailbox. I don't like going to the mailbox. It's where the bills are. I went in the mailbox, and it was enough money to pay for the whole drywall, which was happening the next day. And I almost fell to my knees. And I'm going, golly, why would I ever doubt him? But we do. And it's okay. It's okay. Just get back on and be obedient. The next day, the drywall guy comes out. 2 days afterwards, I gave him the testimony. I gave him a prophecy right there in the middle of the living room. Anyways, I ended up getting the house ready. The next step was, I want you to move. If you really believe you're supposed to sell this house, you get everything out of the house. What's that mean? You put everything in storage. So I even rented a storage unit that was empty. And in the back of my mind, I can always pull out. If there's nothing in there, it'd be really easy not to have to clean it out. How convenient. But I did. I was obedient. That was the first step. And the second one was to empty my house and put everything in a storage room. I had two storage units. Now I have a mortgage payment and another $400 in storage a month payment. And no furniture, no real place to go except for my bed where the house was. I'm like, okay. And then the next step was we went to California and somebody's going to look at the house. The day before we leave for California, my real estate agent says, "I got great news. They want the house at the asking price." Great! What's the bad news? There's bad news too. Well, you get back on, I think, a Wednesday. You got to be out by Friday. I'm like, what? I got to have a new house by Friday? So Dad said I could move into their house, their basement. Anyways, when I got back, the real estate agent was trying to shove me out of the house. The real estate agent who I hired was threatening me with lawsuits if I drug my feet. And he was also lowering the price. And I was like, over the next couple of days, I reached out to the people that are buying the house, and I told them, hey, my real estate agent is doing some bad things. I still want to do business with you. And I also said, I want to sell to you. I just got to get some things figured out. And anyways, I was going to pull the plug on the whole thing. This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of principle. Killing Saul is a matter of principle. Look how many people died, right? And as I sat there in my parents' basement, which I love being with company, but I felt kind of humiliated. I'm living in my parents' basement. I felt like I regressed. And I don't want I used to come home to work. I wanted everybody to see where I lived. Now I'm in a basement. So it was very humbling. It was communicated. He said, Aaron, who gave you that house? And it wasn't this clear. You know, it's always vague. Well, you gave me the house. Okay? So I own that house. I'll let you live there, right? Yeah. If I want to give it to them, are you going to be the one that tells me no? I never thought of it that way. I'm like, he goes, what if I want them, that family to have that house? Are you going to tell me no? And it was all clear that I was about ready to pull the plug, and I was like, golly. So I went through with it, sold the house. I got to meet them, and it turned out that the family didn't have a place to live. They had sold their house. It was a Christian family. And it turned out that they had like friends and family and all in the neighborhood. They loved my house, and I was so blessed. But now I'm stuck in the basement. I'm living in a basement with mom and dad's house. Actually, I had more joy about moving to my parents' basement. I couldn't understand. My dad said, we can live in our basement. Have you looked for houses? And I was thinking about that, and I was like, I've been looking at houses, but I got more excited about moving into your basement, which doesn't make sense. It's hard to meet girls and go on a date. So what do you do for a living? I manage finances. So where's your house? I live in my parents' basement right now. You know, I feel like Joe Dirt. I got a broom closet over here. I got places. You live in a broom closet, Jim Dirt. That's kind of how I was feeling. That was my flesh. You know, go, okay, boy, it'll be a tough time to meet Mrs. Wright, right? Anyways, as I was in the basement, Yahweh raised me up. And because I was surrounded with believers, I started memorizing 50 scriptures and reciting them every day. I became a morning person, getting up at 6:30 in the morning. What in the world? All these great things happen, and then every morning I'm running and I'm going, I want to buy a house that's close to Mom and Dad's house. I want that, and so my son can walk Mom and Dad's house and see Melania. And I was like, that'd be perfect. And then I looked at other houses, and somebody suggested some other houses, and I'm looking at it, I went, that makes sense, but that would really bother me. I would not be thankful that I was obedient, was what I was thinking. I think if I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to be rewarded for obedience. So this thing kind of went through my head, and a real estate agent that I met was going to help me out, and she's looking for houses in the neighborhood, and actually it was my dad that put me back on target. Because I did find a house that was about 2 miles away, and it was nice. It was closer than anything I had, and I was like, maybe I should do this. And my dad said, nah, you want something closer than that. There's no houses there closer than something for sale. Anyways, in the morning as I do my morning run, I'm looking for houses, and the first sign of hope was a house went on the market, and it was right down the street. I looked at it. It's a really nice house in a really nice neighborhood, but I'm kind of like, but look at the location. It's the location. It's for my son. You know, it's for him, right? And I looked at the house, went inside, and the real estate agent goes, look, everything's brand new on the inside. It's immaculate. You know, all the rest I'm looking at, it's got a pool. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just going, no, it's just... And every morning I'd run, I'd do my run, and then another couple weeks went by, and another house went on the market. We looked at it. And it was beautiful on the inside, and the outside didn't have the curb appeal. And I'm just kind of like, by this point, I was getting more joy living with my mom and my dad and my niece and their two cats. Coming home to a family was great. My son was really blessed coming home to a family instead of just him and I. And I was running, and all of a sudden, here's a communication, and I didn't know it was Yahweh. It wasn't real clear, and it was kind of like, what about that house? And the desire was to me, the best house on the planet. Yeah, right. The biggest, most beautiful house on the block, in my opinion. Yeah, not in the cards. I'm like, and I'm thinking that's me being arrogant or me being flashy or something. Like, nah. And then it came full circle. Aaron, what if I told you that house? And I'm going, I can't afford that house. I don't have the money for that house. It's not on the market. And so anyways, I kind of wrestle with it, but again, he doesn't go away. If we are in fellowship, he will go away. 1 John 1:9, if you go in the darkness, you're not going to communicate to him anymore. But if you're really trying to please him and you're walking with him, he's going to bring it back up again. And then you know what he did? The next step was, I want my bills paid. I want my business to work. I want my relationships with my family to be blessed, which is the most valuable thing I have. If I want him to bless those things, I gotta be obedient. Okay? I understand that. And you know what the next thing was on the list? I want you to confess every day that's your house. So in the morning as I'm going running, that's my house. And I'm running and I'm doing it, I'm confessing, thank you for my house. That's a great looking house. And actually when I was first running, I ran by every house except for that house. How convenient. No, now I want you to run by that house. I'm like, oh, I feel like I was being broke. Anyways, the next part of the story was a house two doors down from Mom and Dad's comes on the market. And my mom asked, are you going to go look at it? And I was, I'd be a fool not to, right? And I go inside the house. I think Mom's the only one that's ever been in it. And I went inside this house, and it looks like a millionaire, billionaire house, the way it's done. Everything is immaculate. It's got this theater. And I'm looking inside of a house that I would think this is the type of thing that Bill Warren lives in, or you know, somebody very, very wealthy. And as soon as you walk in, and all of a sudden in the back of my mind, you mean I could afford to live in a place like this? Is what I was kind of thinking. And anyways, I'm looking, all these things are kind of working out. And as I walk out, I'm like, I'd be a fool to be holding out for a closer house for my son. if that's what I'm saying I'm doing, and not buy the house that's next door. That just makes sense, right? As I go back up to my mom's room to go see her, she's on her bed watching, reading her books. She goes, "Did you look at the house?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "What'd you think?" I go, "Man, it was incredible." She goes, "I knew you'd think it is. I've been in there. It is nice." And I went, and she goes, "Do you know the story about that house?" "No." She goes, "Well, the last owners before this owner, they were friends of mine. They're Canadians. I go to play cards with them. And she used to drive by a house out in Goddard, a town near here, and she saw her dream house every day. Every day. I want to come back to that. With my first house, that didn't make sense as I was getting it ready. It was Shauna's husband, my brother Israel. He was the one that connected the dot as I was getting it ready. He said, "Aaron," I was like, "I don't even know why I'm doing this." And Izzy goes, "It's because this house is for somebody else." That was the first sign. The second sign, back to that, is I shared that testimony with Tim. And Tim said, "Y'all had told us to sell our house in Florida and to get it ready and get it worked. And we're doing it." And the day that they put the for sale sign, a guy came up and offered to buy the house that day. And it turned out that man had been running around the block. Yeah, I didn't even put these things together. It's coming back into my story. Watching them, what they were doing with the house, wanting to buy their house. And he bought it. Just like that. At an asking price that was insane. It didn't make sense. And those two things really gave me faith. Now back up to mom saying with the woman that was looking at the house of Goddard's, her dream house, and she's like, "I'm going to do something about it." So she knocks on the door of a stranger. Hi, can we help you? "You don't know me. I just want to let you know that I absolutely love your house. It's the most beautiful house there is out here. I drive by it all the time." They're like, "Oh, okay, thanks. And I also want you to know that if you're ever going to sell it, I would love to know about it, even though I probably can't afford it. I would just love to know." And these people are like, "Really? Wow, that's kind of nice." And then the story went, my mom said, then what happened was that people that owned the house were forced to relocate, and they didn't want to sell their house. But if they were, they wanted to sell it to somebody that was really going to like it. So they sold it to her. As soon as I heard that, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. Because the house that I've been confessing was mine, out of obedience. The house that somebody else was telling me to look at every single day was not on the market. And here I am, I meet strangers for a living, I don't meet strangers, I can strike up a conversation with anybody, but now I'm being told, I need to go knock on a door. I went, "I can't do this. I'm going to go knock on somebody's door and say I want to buy their house." So I went, "Yali, I think you're telling me this, okay? But I got a house right next door. If you really want me to do this, please, please give me a confirmation. I'm going to drive by the house because I got to go to the supermarket anyways. So give me some sort of confirmation." And I get my Jeep, and as I'm driving by the house, the owner of the house is mowing it, which I've never seen him really mow before, and he's mowing in golf clothes. Really nice, expensive clothes, and probably like $1,000 watch. And I'm looking, I'm like, if that wasn't a sign, I don't know what a sign is. And I chickened out, I'm like, just kept driving. And I was like, I am the biggest chicken. What in the world is wrong with me? I kept driving, then I pulled over in the parking lot, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on in me, but I'm a coward. What was that? And I went to the grocery store, bought a gallon of milk. As long as I'm here, I'm going to do something. I said, please work with my weakness. And anyways, I drive back. This guy's mowing the lawn. I stop my Jeep in front of him. He's got his headphones on, so he can't hear me. So I gotta go, "Hey! Hey!" And he's like, and he looks at me like, "Hey!" I'm like, "Hi." Then I went to my spiel. "I love your house. I've always loved it. Actually, since my parents moved in this neighborhood, it's always been my favorite house. I just want you to know that if you were ever gonna sell it, I would love to have an opportunity to possibly buy it." And then I threw in another thing. "And if we did without real estate agents, we could probably save 6%. I'd throw a little business in there. And he stops. He goes, "Are you serious?" He goes, "I'm sorry, man. I'm out here mowing in my golf clothes. And somebody just pulls up and asks if they could buy my house." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm serious." He goes, "We are going to sell our house." And I go, "Are you really?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. But the house we're going to build is we haven't broke ground on it, so it's not going to be for a long time." In the back of my mind, I'm like living in my parents' basement. I love the fellowship. I'm saving a lot of money, and I got a family I'm living around. And I went, "Well, great." He goes, "Well, I'll tell you what." And he goes, "But no, we're going to use a real estate agent because if my wife's best friend's going to sell it. I'm like, sure money, man. That's what I'm thinking. And anyways, he goes, well, let's exchange phone numbers. And then I'll let you know if we're going to sell. That'll be like 6 or 9 months. We exchange phone numbers. And I go home and I'm buzzing. I have a spiritual buzz. This just happened. I walked out in obedience. Well, time goes by. I tell the real estate agent that I knocked on a door and I met a guy. He said he was going to sell. And she's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, well, when is he going to sell? I go, well, we don't know. And she's like, oh, great. Because she's looking for a commission, I'm sure. And I go, but I'll get in contact with you. Anyways, my real estate agent keeps sending me text messages every once in a while, showing other houses and things. So finally, I was like, no more texts. I will call you. I don't want to waste your time. And so there's radio silence. And then one morning, I get up in the morning. I don't know how much they're even going to sell the house for. We're getting ready to go to, where did we went last time?
Colorado.
And anyways, I think it was Colorado. I got a voicemail. I didn't answer my phone. In the voicemail, I listened to it. Hi, this is so-and-so's real estate agent. He wanted me to reach out to you. And he wanted me to let you know that they're starting to declutter the house. And he wanted me to, introduce myself since you're the one that's probably going to be buying it. I'm like, man, this thing's actually coming together. And I'm like, I couldn't believe it. As I'm sitting there in my car, guess who called me? I look down, it's my real estate agent. I told her, no more phone calls, no more harassment. She calls and I go, hello? And she doesn't wait for another hello. She goes right into the mall. I'm sorry I'm calling you, but you were really on my heart this morning. And I believe that I was supposed to give you a phone call. And she starts talking and I went, hey. And then she goes, what? And I go, guess who just called me? She goes, what? The other real estate agent. The house is going to go on the market. She goes, well, how much are they asking? I go, I don't know. She goes, does that bother you? Well, in the back of my mind, I'm living in my parents' basement. I'm loving it. I got the best fellowship I've had in years and years and years. I'm watching TV. I got two cats to hang out with. I got my niece. It's great. And I'm saving money. And in the back of my mind, if it doesn't work out, I'm pretty comfy now. Now I'm not so worried about meeting a girl and telling her I live in my parents' basement. But it really bothered her. Time goes by. We're getting ready to go to Colorado. I don't know how much you're going to ask for. You think that bothered me? And before we went to Colorado, I was on my knees. I went into my parents' backyard. I got down on my hands and my knees because I thought I should probably check in. You know? I thought that I really felt like I was going above an extra. I got down on my knees, and as I was sitting there, peaceful, looking at the stars, just trying to communicate, listen, talk. It was communicating, you're going to get that house on your birthday. Something like that. And I just knew. And when he talks to you, you know. You know what it means, even if you can't communicate to somebody else. And sometimes you'll try to communicate what he said to you to other people, and they're going to change. No, I don't care what you understand. I know what he said to me. Anyways, before my birthday, before we went to Colorado, I get a text message. Or 2 weeks before that, they're decluttering the house. Aren't you excited? Yes, I'm very excited. And then before we went to Colorado, they're ready with to give you a price. And I was like, here we go. You know, how are you going to afford this? They told me the price. And guess what the price was? The price was, I could not have bought that house if I was not living in my parents' basement, saving money for 8 months. But since I've been saving money for 8 months, and Yahweh and Christ gave me new business during that period too, and the only reason why I got that new business is, do you know how I got it? It was by the storage unit, that second storage unit, that I ran into a client's son. And because I struck up a conversation with him, his brother, and his other family members, paid me some very large commissions on new business. And I had all that money, and it was enough to purchase the house. Now, my real estate agent goes, does it bother you? You don't know what the inside looks like? I don't care what the inside looks like. This story's getting better and better. And here this whole thing is going, and it's the desires of your heart. And Christ is inside of us. Yahweh's inside of us. What's the desires in your heart? Shoot, aim big. And before the next step, I went down and got, I think the next step was, we got to look at the house. It was going to be on a Friday. And to me, it was, I don't care what the inside is. I just know this is my house. I don't need to ask. He told me what to do. It reminded me of Jesus Christ says, hey, go into town. There's going to be a colt there tied up. Take it. If anybody asks, you know, like that's kind of how I felt I was doing. Anyways, we come walking through the house. I'm looking at it. I'm looking inside. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty neat. And we're in the basement. And the two real estate agents are talking. They're kicking the tires on a couple of things. Going, oh, this could be some work. This could be some work. Melania's there. My mom's there. And I'm like, they look at me and go, I want it. And both real estate agents go, are you serious? Yeah. This is it. And their real estate agent goes, they were so worried that the house isn't clean. They got toys and junk everywhere, and they thought that that was going to be a problem. They were going to say that they're going to work on some stuff. I said, no, I want it. It's a done deal. And so anyways, so she walks off, and actually I told them the testimony in the basement of this house. I said, Jesus Christ told me to sell my house. It was for somebody else. He told me to buy this house because this is going to be the house. And they're looking at me like I got worms coming out of my ears. But anyways, with the house, I ended up buying it, and we closed on it. And I got to meet the owner, so I asked if he'd show me how to walk around or how to work the well for the sprinkler system. So he didn't just do that. He showed me, here's this. This thing sticks a little bit. Here's this. Here's a shutoff light. Here's what I got. And I was like, man, I was like, everybody should do that. I should have done that. Hey, this thing looks like it's broke. It's not broke. All these great things. He's a really neat guy. And he radiates a lot of light. Anyways, I get in the house. My family, thanks to Dad and Israelites and Melania, I move in. And Yahweh communicated, actually, a week before I moved in the house, I went down on my knees and going, this thing's really happening. I said, I was praying, but I got down on my knees again, and it's amazing that I ever hesitate to get down on my knees. Why should I ever hesitate? Usually three times a day. And if I don't get down on my knees, it's like I don't even pick up the phone. You know, I got down on my knees, and this is what was communicated to me. Aaron, you know the house you're getting ready to move in? Oh yeah, I can't even sleep. Because it's not just the house I always wanted, it was the story going into it. And yeah, he goes, I want you to remember something. What's that? And this isn't audible, it's just being communicated. You didn't even want to jog by that house. You didn't even want to confess that house. You wanted the house next to it. I'm sitting there going, oh, I can kind of see where this is going, right? And he goes, you didn't want to knock on the door to go meet that guy. Okay? And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I remember. I will remember that. And I thought that was the conversation was going to be over then. And that was just the beginning. After I said that and I meditated, he went, now, the next time I tell you to do something, no matter how big it is, go do it. And I'm sitting there going, why would I ever doubt him? But we do. And it's okay if we have doubts. Just do it with doubts. Just go do it. Just be obedient. And I was like, he could have just stopped that lecture with, the only reason why you're in the house is because of me. I got it. I would have been happy. But then he set the sights even higher. The next time I tell you to do something, do it. Okay. Now, I've been living in my empty house. It's just got furniture now. Actually, I loved it being empty. It looks so clean and big. I'm like, look how big this place is. It's clean. I don't want clutter. I got a text message saying that the old owners said, hey, they're expecting a package. They think it got shipped to your house. We check. I didn't see anything on the pack. So I respond, no, there's nothing in the house. Second day goes by. Is there any package at your house? No, there's no package. Then I'm working out with Elijah and Israel. I get another text message. They said, had they received the package? And I'm like, I left the house. There was no package. But I'll check when I get back home. And as I got back home, I got another text message. And she's relaying the text messages. The package, Amazon said the package was delivered. It's in the mailbox. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't even open the mailbox. I don't even know what key it is. So I go walking out there, and I pull up, and here's a box. Okay, I don't know what's in there. There's all this mail. I pull it out. I text back, yeah, there's a box, a bunch of mail. And I sit there, and they say, well, how do you want to give them the mail? I said, I'll put it on the back porch. My next text comes through, and it's the text from the previous owner. I haven't texted him since I first shook his hand. I really haven't talked to the guy. And he texts, can I come and get it now? So I don't know what's in the box, but they apparently didn't want to leave it overnight. I said, yeah, sure. He pulls up to the house, and he walks up, and he's embarrassed. He goes, hey, I'm so sorry. I changed the address, and now there's stuff here. I'm really sorry. I'm looking at him and going, hey. He's like, what? I go, I'm in cloud nine here. I said, do you realize how happy I am that I am in this house? Do you have any idea that I am living in my dream? And his face opened up like a flower. It just started radiating. This was his, I didn't know what this was. And he looks and he went, yeah. Lisa told me, and then I said, Jesus Christ told me to sell my house. I didn't want to sell my house. Then it turned out another family needed it. I lived in my parents' basement. I said, you know how scared I was to come shake your hand? He started laughing. He's like, he goes, I was just telling somebody. And then he was telling a story. So this guy's a dentist. He goes, I was telling somebody that I was mowing my lawn. All of a sudden a Jeep pulls up. I'm like, who's that? And I was thinking to myself, and the guy gets out of the Jeep, and he's walking up to me. I was like, oh, great. He's walking up to me, and he's telling the story to one of his buddies. And then he was like, all I can think of is, what is he selling? And he's telling me, the buddy, and the buddy goes, what was he selling? And he goes, he asked to buy my house. And his friend goes, what? Are you serious? He goes, yeah. He asked to buy my house. Did he know you were going to sell your house? No. And I looked at him. I got to hear his side of the story. And I went back, and I'm like, man, you know how scared I was? And then I said, but Jesus Christ opened these things up, and he told me to knock on the door, come meet you. He told me this was my house, and he's looking at me. And with each one of these words, he's growing. The spotlight's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Christ is feeding something inside this really neat guy. And I'm sitting on the front porch. I'm in a tank top because I've been working out. It's 50 degrees out. We stayed on the driveway for an hour talking about stuff. And he goes, do you know that had you not bought that house, we didn't have the money to close on the house we're building? In my mind, they were breaking ground or something. And I went... And he goes, you know, he's so comfortable with me, he's not trying to do dialogue, he goes into one of his stories. And he turns his head and he goes, yeah, so because you bought the house, we had the funds to actually close the deal, we just closed that deal today. And I went, wow, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to take my kids and we're all going to get a family picture of all of us in front of, before they break the ground. And I went, that's fantastic. He goes, really? You think so? I go, yeah, you need to do that family heirloom stuff. And he goes, do you know that now that we bought that house, that my wife's sister, who's her best friend, will now be our neighbor? And I went, what? He goes, yeah. Yeah, he's a dentist too. He's an orthopedic surgeon or some orthodontist. And I went, wow. He goes, and my sister-in-law's husband was my best friend growing up. I'm looking at it and I go, do you know? No, here's my turn. I was out here in my garage working on my new trailer and I needed a second pair of hands. I've been living, you know, nowhere near any friends or family. And I was working on some stuff and I looked up and I saw my dad walking by. I forgot he's my neighbor. He asked if he could give me a hand. He goes, that's right, your dad's your neighbor. I'm like, yeah, he's right there. He goes, that's great, isn't it? And all of a sudden we started, it's like two matches and he didn't want to leave. And he goes, "Why? I better get going." I'm like, "All right, man. See you later." And anyways, I get to hear his side of the story. They could have got their house. Wow! And I was this close to pulling the plug in so many different areas. And then I'm thinking, these guys are Catholics. Obviously, I'm not Catholic, but Catholics are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Last night, I went to the mailbox, and there's birthday cards saying open April 21st. Yesterday was April 24th. Addison, please open April. Then one's from Honolulu. one from Seattle, Washington, their birthday cards, and I'm like, oh man. So I sent him a text message, no more real estate agent, and said, hey, you got mail, some birthday cards. He goes, you mind if I come by today? I'm like, yeah, you can come by anytime you want. He goes, what time? I'm 8:30. He goes, perfect. Anyways, I'm in here, I want to go to bed early. I was exhausted, it's 8:30 at night. I'm kind of walking around. The doorbell rings, I'm like, this is really weird. He was the owner like 3 weeks ago. Now he's ringing the doorbell and I gotta come to the door. I come to the door, there's no more awkward. He goes, hey, I got a baseball here, this goes on the wall. Here's another thing, here's a vacuum attachment, we get walked off of that too. Here's a homeowner's association, they're gonna be meeting, And it looked like he was waiting, he wanted to talk again. And I sat there and I go, okay, well here's this stuff, your daughter's birthday, and we're sitting right there on the front porch. And I have the door open, just in case I want to. It's a good way if you want to, get out of a conversation. Oh, it's this door, and they're like, oh, I'll forget your door's open. The heat's on. But as we're sitting there talking, and he goes, so hey, I'm sorry about that. Some of these things didn't get clean. I went back. This is my dream house. And he goes, really? Man, he starts looking at the inside of the house. He went, you know, I told my wife about what Jesus told you. Which was neat coming from his words. I would say Christ. And he goes, yeah, I told her that you told me that Jesus said that this was your house. And that he was telling you to be obedient. And he starts going into what he's telling his wife about this obedience. And he starts going in and goes, and then that's what it's all about. It's what it's about. And he starts talking about some other things about trying to get his kids to go to confession and stuff. I'm sitting there looking. And then he goes on to tell them about the house. They got the pictures there in front of the house. And I'm looking. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see this guy again. I've been standing on the front porch with the door open with the heat on for 45 minutes. And he's radiating. It was like, he was this big of a spotlight. Now he's like this. You can see like everything coming out of his eyes. And he said, but the problem is, he started going, well, I forgot. Oh, he has some difficulties. He's bought a second practice. Yeah, so he owns one dental practice and he's got this other dental practice and I got my six kids and I'm trying to balance all this and the financing. I'm going, you run two businesses, you got six kids and you're a good father. And I'm like, man, that's fantastic. And then he talked about some other difficulties or kind of worried about some other things. And I'm sitting there and I go, well, you guys probably know where this story's going, right? I said, you mind if I pray for you? He goes, no, that's fine. Father, I thank you through Jesus Christ that this guy, and I said their names, I won't say it on here because I don't have permission. They sold your house to me. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, the first time I met him, I went back through the testimony and I went, hey you, that means your house is going to be even better than this one. If I leveled up, how much more is yours? And his face went, you think so? I go, absolutely. What is Christ doing? Can you imagine how good your house is? I said, my house was the best I could ever imagine. The house I just moved into is five times my other house. There's no way I would go back. What's your house going to be like? And he's like, really? You really think so? I go, absolutely. And then he came back. Oh, the contractors and the architects, and they're trying to get the covenant. Now this is happening, and this is happening, and money, money, money. Well, that's what I'm hearing. And he's sitting there, this and that, and I go, well, you mind if I pray? And I prayed about the finances, I prayed about this, and then I called into remembrance. Christ and Yahweh are in this. They've been obedient. They got out of this house so I could get into this house. They will be rewarded. Yes, that which you sow, you will reap. And then I went right into a prophecy. I said, so-and-so, you and your wife, and the prophecy went, the best part of your marriage, you're on the horizon of it, as these words came out. The honeymoon of your marriage, the beauty of your marriage, you are like steps away. You've been so obedient with your most valuable assets, your children, and with your marriage, and with your vows, that Christ is about ready to blow your mind, and this house is just a part of it, and these words just flow out. And I get done expecting possibly that made him a little uncomfortable. Now I've had that, some people running, see dust clouds. He stops, and I get down on my eyes, and he's like, hey. I'm like, there's an awkward pause. He's not going anywhere. The door's still open. The heat's on in the house. And I go, how did you meet your wife? And then he went in this whole new testimony. I met her because I was Hey, my best friend, here's this and that, and here's the rest of these things. And then we talked a little bit more about the Word. It's all about the Word. It's all about being obedient. It's about this and that. And then as he walked off, I was reminded, that's Jesus Christ's little brother. He needed a pep talk. He needed encouragement. And the guy is managing two businesses. He's selling a house. He's building a house. He's trying to manage all this stuff. And then he's going to sell a house, get out of all these things. And Christ was, you need to go shake hands with this guy. I'm not going over there. And then after you get done seeing it, he was a different guy. He was completely different. And then through, and the same way somebody impacted me. And I completely forgot that Christ was going, you, it could be Isaiah, you are the only one that's going to reach that kid. You. Well, why me? Why not him? Why not him? And I completely forgot about this guy and his marriage. Is he ever going to get a prophecy again? Actually, there's a pretty good chance because he goes, he came over at 8:30, he goes, man, it's almost 11 o'clock. I better get going. It's past my bedtime. Actually, he didn't tell me it was 11 o'clock. It was past my bedtime. I came inside. He goes, we need to get together. Hey, maybe we'll go get a beer or do something. See you later. And I'll walk off. And so that's the testimony of the house. Gonna go. And now we're sitting in the house. And the dad told me I should give the testimony. And what a better way of honoring Yahweh and Jesus Christ. This is their house. What's your dream? What's this desire? And actually, not your dream. Forget about your dreams. What's his dreams that are inside you? Shauna had a baby incubating inside of her before she was pregnant. Its name was Ruth. It was a dream. But what did she do? Why do you say you love me if you don't keep my commandments? Right? That was out of obedience that your mom that went back and did that. Now we got Ruth. Will we change anything? Heck no! Let us use all these examples to go, we would never go back. Joseph would never go back. You won't go back. And they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if he tells you to buy an island, he tells you whatever these things, you need to get confirmation, be a good steward, give plenty of ways to pull out. But they say, but this is my last day, let it be one that honors you. So that's it. So we'll go ahead and hear from our Father according to 1 Corinthians 14. Kids, if you're going to manifest or interpret, please do it with your heads up so we can hear clearly. Does anybody feel inspired to do a closing prayer, or I can? Okay, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Yahweh, through Jesus Christ, that you are alive and you hear our voice and you are inside of us. But there is no way that we could come to our Father except through Christ. We thank you, Christ, that we have a mediator that goes in between us. We thank you, just as Moses mediated between Yahweh and Israel when they were rebellious. We thank you, Christ, for all that you have mediated in our lives. Well, we deserve the fruit of our wicked ways, and you stood in the gap. Thank you for all of your work. I thank you for everybody that's here. I speak blessings over them. I speak blessings over my mother and her perfect healing. Oh yeah, as I'm praying, I forgot that one of the biggest things about this testimony was when I told them that people in East Africa knew about the testimony of the house, his face was a lot. There's people in East Africa, there's people in Cape Town, South Africa that know about this house. He was really going, yeah, your house is famous. I said, the first thing I did is I got on my knees, my Bible, had my knees, took a picture of it. And it's the most popular picture I've ever posted. It's great. Well, we thank you, Father, and Yehoshua, for showing us how we are to fulfill your calling. And to come back and set herself aside and say, what are your dreams in this relationship? Like a husband and wife, what are your dreams? And to remind herself that every time we were obedient, it was always well worth it. Amen. I'll give a prophecy for the crowd. Stir up the gift that is inside you. Each one of you has a gift, and nobody else has it. For Yahweh and Christ have designed you perfect in a certain way to fit a perfect spot. Don't conform and don't change to fit in the world, but instead go back to what you were called to do. And as you stir up that gift, everything else will start coming together. So fan that flame And as you are obedient with that and you do it with joy and a big smile on your face, knowing that I'm cheering for you like a father in a stand with a flag waving his child's number, you will grow white hot and everything else will come together. Yahweh bless you.